That you can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to begin to read verse 10. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 says this: "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Notice that now. He says if you receive his sayings that the years of your life are going to be many. Tells us we ought to be making sure we're receiving the word, right? He said, "I've taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instructions and of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of a just is as the shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, you know, Solomon was the most wise man that ever was. And here he's given us some clear instructions to make sure we're getting the word, make sure that that word is coming in us and we're keeping the word. And he says that word's going to lift in our days. But I want to focus more in on verse 23 where he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In the New Living Testament, it says this: "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." The Contemporary English Version says it this way: "Carefully guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life." So we need to make sure we're guarding our hearts, guarding our mind, guarding our thoughts, guarding what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this, and because I want to just encourage us tonight, that God has moved in such a way to bring a great victory to Christianity. Amen. We've got to understand that God has moved, okay? This wasn't done by a man. It wasn't done by a party. This was a God thing. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Even though God has moved and caused this to happen, we cannot let our guard down. Amen. You can't let your guard down. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your mind. And so when I was talk about not letting our guard down, we've got to remain vigilant in prayer. You've got to continue to pray, okay? You've got to just stay at it. You've got to continue to pull down strongholds. Amen. You have to continue to. We've got to continue to press into the things of God. Amen. See, we have to continue these things. Understand that you and I are the ones that God is using here on this earth to bring forth His plans and purposes. Did you hear what I said? Even though this thing was wrought of God, you still had to get out and go and vote. Come on. And even though this thing is wrought of God, you still have to remain vigilant in praying. Come on, it's still up to you to pull down strongholds to keep the enemy from doing what he wants to do. Right? And it's still up to you just to keep on pressing into the things of God. Now, why is it so important? Well, go over here to Matthew chapter 12 with me. Look here in Matthew chapter 12, and I think this will be a good comparison. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 says this: "When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Notice that when the space is cleared or cleaned of evil, it's got to be filled up with good. Amen. If notice here he's talking about the evil spirit's gone and the place is clean, it's swept, it's garnished, it's good. But it's never filled with anything. And so when that evil spirit decides, I'm going to go back to my house, he goes back and finds that nobody's been put in there. Nothing's been happening there. It's not been filled. Now, when it's concerning people, it's talking about the Holy Spirit there. But when we're concerning other things, we're talking about making sure that God things are there. See, because when you notice this now, when he went out and couldn't find anywhere that he could dwell, he couldn't find any place he could stay, he couldn't find any place that he could possess, he went back to the house from which he came. And when he went back to that house, what happened? Seven times worse than it was before because of what he took back with him. What I'm trying to tell you is we have to guard, church, because the enemy doesn't just quit because you cast him out. Come on, the devil don't quit just because you cast him out. If you cast out an evil spirit, it starts looking for somewhere else to go. Remember when Jesus cast the demons out of the man? The first thing they said is, bid us that we can go even get into the swine. They're looking for somewhere that they can possess, that they can express themselves. You've got to understand that the enemy has been expressing itself here on this earth. The enemy has been working through governments all across the world. Come on, individual groups, individuals, to bring about the plan of the devil. Come on now, you can get mad at me about this if you want to, but it's the truth. And you can, if it's not so, then tell me why in the world all of this immorality has risen up. Come on, that's not a God, right? I mean, why is it that all the things that we know that go against God is the very things that we're being pushed? Well, see, that's the devil's agenda. Whatever goes against the Word of God, that's what he wants. Come on now. You see, and so we have to make sure that we're filling the space with good. We have to make sure that if it's an individual, we got to get God in their life. But we also have to make sure that if it's an entity, we need to make sure that God things are there. Come on now. To replace the wicked, you have to replace it with righteousness. You have to make sure that the place is filled with the right things. Now, which means we got to just keep on pushing. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says. He says, I don't count myself to apprehended. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on pushing. You can't just sit back and relax. You can't just sit back and sleep and slumber and not do anything. You have to stay aware. You have to understand the times and the seasons that we're living in. See, we're in a season right now, and you better understand that this is a season that the church needs to take an advantage of. Children of God need to take an advantage of this because we can't just lay back and say, well, you know, everything's good now. We're all right. No, the enemy's still lurking. He doesn't quit. He just keeps pushing. He just keeps working, right? Let me show you. Over in Matthew chapter 13, you're in 12. Just jump over here to 13 and let's look here at verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now notice here, he's sown good seed. He is confident in what he's done, right? He's put good seed into good ground. Look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While he was asleep, the enemy came and messed up his crops. So you can't afford to go to sleep right now. You can't afford to just sit back and doze right now. You have to be aware that the enemy is always working and looking for ways that he can corrupt. He sowed tares. We don't know exactly what tares are, but they're apparently some kind of weed that grew or whatever. But now listen. It says, while he slept, he sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. The third servant said to him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest you gather up the tares, while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. Notice here that God separates the evil from the good. God separates the tares from the wheat. And notice the wheat goes in the barn, but the tares are bundled to be burned. Can I tell you something, church? We got to make sure we're wheat. We got to make sure we're wheat. We got to make sure we're going to be gathered for heaven and not gathered to be burned in hell. Come on, we got to guard ourselves. We can't let our guard down. So I look around as your pastor and I see people that are asleep. I see our church members that are asleep. They're not recognizing the times we're in and what's going on right now. It seems like everything's good, but I'm telling you, the enemy is still at work. Now, I know that God is always working together for good for those that love and serve Him, but I'm telling you also that the enemy, when you give him place, will make a way to get in and sow tares. He will come in and try to mess up that which is good. And so we have to be on guard. We have to watch. Jump over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to what Paul writes here to the church at Thessalonica. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Notice this. Paul says you ought to already know about the times and the seasons. He's telling the church here, he said, you don't need me to tell you what time it is because you already know it. That's what he's saying. But it's sad that a lot of the church today don't know it. They don't know where we're living, the time we're living. He goes on and says, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Notice what Paul's writing to the church. He says, listen, let us not sleep as others do. Let us not sleep. We're not of the night. Notice he says, they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunk, drunk in the night. See, evil works in darkness, but you and I are not of the darkness. We're of the light. Matter of fact, Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Notice that Jesus says, Paul writes, he says, we're not of darkness that day should overtake us. In other words, we ought to see it coming. Amen. You ought to be able to look around you and discern the signs of the time and see things that are coming and know things that are coming. He says we should. Now, notice here in verse 9, he says, for God's not appointed us, I'm going to give this to you from the Amplified, for God's not appointed us to incur His wrath. He did not select us to condemn us, but that we might obtain His salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Notice, God has not appointed us to wrath. A lot of folks are saying, they'll say, well, I don't know now whether I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. I don't know about that, talking about the tribulation. Well, the Bible says God's not appointed us to wrath. So I believe we're going in the first boat. Come on, I think we're going to be caught out of here before all this starts up. Now, there's others that would argue, but he says he's not appointed you and I to wrath. He doesn't want his church to go through that. That we're going to be caught up. We're going to be out of here because of the Lord Jesus Christ being our Messiah. Now, here's the thing. If we're in communion with the Spirit, then we have anointing. If you're in communion with the Spirit, you have anointing. You can see, and you're aware of times and seasons that are going on. Right now, there is a release in the Spirit for the supernatural to take place, but it's up to us whether or not we activate in that. We can sit back and we can just let it pass us by, or we can press in and we can start praying, God, we want your move. We want your Spirit. We want to see people saved. We want to see our families come in. You see, the thing that happens to us sometimes, we sleep. We get caught up. We get caught up in the status quo, and we just kind of get so busy with our lives that we're not looking around and seeing that we've got family and neighbors and friends that are going to hell. And we're not inviting them to church. We're not asking them if they want to come. And I saw a little statistic today that said 82% of the people that come to church for the first time, it was because somebody asked them to come to church. Everything else was like 6%, like advertisements or an invitation sent in the mail or something. No. Mouth. People asking their friends, won't you go to church with me? 82%. That's how the people came to church for the first time. Think about that. That's something, isn't it? To think about that you and I can affect 82% out there. And instead, we're not doing anything. Come on now. See, we've got to guard, we've got to see, and we've got to understand and know what time it is. You and I cannot lay back and let this pass us. We have to make sure that we're... And here's the thing, church. If you're not excited about your church, nobody else is going to be. If you're not excited about your salvation, then you can't excite somebody else. Right? I mean, haven't you got around people that were so excited about what they were doing that they made you want to do it too? Right? Come on now. They start talking about it. They live it, eat it, breathe it. Then that's the way you and I should be as far as our Christianity. We ought to be so excited about it that people that are around us say, where do you go to church? And when you tell them, they say, I want to go with you. Come on now. See, we ought to be inviting. We ought to be encouraging. But instead, and I'll be honest with you, we need to encourage the folks that say they're already saved and get them to come and back to church. You see, ever since COVID hit, it seems like that people have felt like it's okay to stay home. Sometimes I love the fact that we can put our broadcast out there for those that cannot come to church. But in many ways, it's kind of bad, too, because what happens is folks say, well, I'll just watch it online. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what, it doesn't matter what event, but especially church. But it doesn't matter what event that you watch on TV versus being there, it's not the same. It's just not the same. Now, I'm going to tell you, I mean, you know, yes, I understand, like, folks, you know, everybody can get, you know, to a UK ball game. I'll just use that since that's what everybody loves around here anyway. But, you know, you can watch it on TV and you can get excited on TV, but it ain't nothing like if you're down there in the lower arena, maybe in the first one or two rows right there on the floor when it's going on. There's an excitement in the building, and that's just a natural thing. When it comes to the things of God, there's an anointing in the building. There's that anointing that it just, even though you can, it is conveyed over the, but not like it is when you're there. Amen. Well, I've told you this before. We used to head out when we first started out. We'd go every year up to Columbus, Ohio, up to Rod Parsley's, up to World Harvest Church. And we'd stand outside in line for an hour. It'd be just to get into the building. And we're going to church now. No, we're not camping out to see, you know, Big Blue Madness or something like that. We're going to church. Stand in line for hours, drove 3.5 hours to get up there and stand in line for an hour, you know, and get in the building. And man, the presence of God. The presence of God. I'll never forget the first time I was ever in that building. Looking, standing, we kind of got up in the balcony toward the back, and you know, and we, because that to me was better seats than some of the front ones because the way the thing was. But anyway, we're there. And the place is full, and you look all the way around you, and you see all these people. And then the music started, the praise and worship started, and people started clapping their hands. And it was like thunder inside that place. I mean, everybody worshiping God together, 5,500 or more people clapping their hands, worshiping God. And I stood there and I cried. I stood there and I cried because this little boy had never been really in a place like that. I mean, New Life Church was the biggest church I'd ever been in, and I thought that was already awesome. But here I am now in this big stadium-like building, and all these people are worshiping God. And I just stood there and I cried and I said this. I said, God, if you can do this here, you can do it in Sagersville. Because you're the same God in Sagersville as you are here. You see, but it's all about the excitement. It's all about the expectation. Now, I understand that they probably don't have 5,500 people every time they had a service. They was in the overflow with, actually, there was about 7,500 people in attendance that were in the gymnasium, and it was full and all those. But this was special meetings. But, you know, we had a special meeting Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. You won't find a better preacher than Brother Mike Manuel. But people didn't have an expectancy. They weren't excited about the fact that somebody special was coming and God could do some miraculous things. You see, we got to keep our guard up and make sure that we're not letting ourselves get cold. I feel like a lot of people since COVID have gotten cold. They felt like they were stuck. But to finish out what I was saying, we went through all that and it so touched us that we bought the CDs, or was it VHS tapes then? CD, I was thinking of CDs. We bought the CDs, DVDs actually, because we're going to take this back and let people watch it that weren't able to go. And we got them, and we invited people to the house and put it in there, and we started watching it, and we're just sitting there looking at each other. It's, wow, it was so much better there. You know, I mean, it was just like it wasn't even the same service. But in the building, Pastor Ed had threw off her shoes. Brother Tim Hall, his shoes was gone. Everybody was dancing and praising God. We watched a woman throw her crutches away. I mean, we saw all these happening that you couldn't catch on camera. You had to be there to experience it. And that kind of goes with that old-fashioned saying, it's better felt than told. To feel the presence of God and this corporate anointing, that there's nothing like that. You can't watch it on TV and experience that. You can get something. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want the real deal and experience the real deal, you need to show up. You need to be here. So we have to make sure that we are guarding ourselves, that we don't let ourselves slip, and we get excited and make sure that we're trying to get other people excited and get them in the house and get them saved, get them filled, get them delivered. Whatever they need, God's got. Amen? I said amen? Thank you. God's got it. See, I think maybe some of you sleep. I've got another scripture for you. Romans chapter 13. Jump over that with me. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let me just stop there. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. When's Jesus coming back? I don't know when He's coming back. But I do know He's coming back soon. We've been in the last days ever since the Word of God was written. The New Testament was written. We've been in the last days. Amen. We've been in the last days. Now, again, as Brother Mike said, you know, for God, you know, a year is a thousand years is a day is a thousand years. So it's in His timing. But we look around once again and see times and seasons. We see things that are going on. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like that maybe we've been given a little grace period to get people saved before Jesus comes, because the United States was almost getting to be a Sodom and Gomorrah. We're getting, I mean, actually a little bit more perverted. Come on now. You know, and so we need to be aware of what's going on in the time we've got, and use this time wisely and wake out of the sleep and say, wait a minute, we need to be getting our families in. We need to be testifying. Ask them. If they say no, well, that's all they can do. They can say no, but at least there's one thing about it. You can say, I've been trying. I did my part. I've asked Him. I've invited them. But, you know, don't just ask once. Just stay after them, especially if they give just a little bit of a hint that they might want to come. Amen. Make up a reason for them to come. Amen. See, it's a good thing if we can do that. Now, he goes ahead and he says this. He says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice that, casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice that it says, make not provision for the flesh. Understand that. See, while the world is just reeling and carrying on over all the election, the church needs to understand that this was a sovereign move of God that we have to take. Be talking about this, that. That's not what any of this is about. It's about restoring the things of God back the way they need to be restored. And it's up to the church for us to do business for the Lord. We're ambassadors for Christ. Right? That's what an ambassador does. They do business for their kingdom. And the church has got to get busy doing business for the kingdom. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We have to work while we have the day, because there's coming a time when it's going to be over. There's coming a time when it'll be too late for our family, too late for our friends, too late for us to witness to them, to win them over. We have to understand, Jesus said, I got to work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. Can I tell you that Jesus has sent every one of us? Go ye therefore into all the world. Right? So we need to work the works. We need to wake up and understand it's time right now. We don't have any time for sleeping. We don't have any time for laying back. The day is at hand. We've got to start imposing the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen from anybody? No time for sleeping. Amen? Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet with me. No time for sleeping. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, we bless you, praise you, and honor you. And thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you, Lord, for waking us up. Thank you for stirring us and shaking us, Father God, to open up our eyes to see what an opportunity we have right now, Father God, to impose your kingdom on a lost and dying world. Help us, Father God, to win our friends and our family, those, Father God, that are near to us and those, God, that are our neighbors and far away from us, Father. Help us to be the light. Help us to be the witness. Help us to be the one that speaks out into the darkness and creates light. And you'll get glory for it all, and your name will be glorified. And we thank you for that and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're in this place and you need prayer, whether you need Jesus in your life or where you just need us to lay hands on you, we want to give you an opportunity to come. Is there anybody? You say, that's me. I need prayer. I need the Lord, whatever it is. If you don't need to come, lift up your hands and let's just begin to praise Him just a little.